name Rita? Because you're making my monster grow.
Cody.
No, I did not name my dog after Iggy Azalea.
Adam. Never give up and never let go of your weapon.
Ray, I swear to God, if you say charge up one more time.
Jay, I asked for extra mustard, but that's ridiculous.
Hey, Ranger fans, this is Jay Cupwater03 from MorphinLegacy.com. Welcome to The Grid, where four gays and a gaffa talk shit about Power Rangers, Sentai, and the fandom at large. So, just as a reminder to four first-time listeners, we are an unedited podcast in both language and screw-ups. Hopefully, this one won't fuck up this time. This is episode 56, and we've named it The Evil Dicey Clan. And if you're in our group, you know what that means. If not, you can tweet us and ask us, maybe.
Oh, God.
Maybe. Oh, God. But first, now that you know all that crap, let me welcome my co-host. Up first is the oldest person in this podcast. Just kidding. We love him. Hi, Adam.
Hi. Wait, no, you're not kidding.
You are.
He really is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And up next is ShadowRay22, Ray. He is our legacy database engineer and vice president at MorphinLegacy.com. Hi, Ray.
Howdy.
You have a long resume. I love doing that every time I introduce
yes,
you.
It keeps getting longer and longer with every episode.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Cody. Hey, Cody.
Hi there. I don't have a resume. Mm-hmm.
I know. I didn't really have a thing to say about you. I'm sorry.
There's not much to say. It's okay.
We didn't see you before we didn't talk to you on the show, at least, till the end of the new year. So, welcome back. Amber was here last time for you. So, welcome back. Yes, Amber, thank you. We love having you here. And last but not least is Victor. Hey, Victor.
Hi, Jay. Happy Go Busters Month.
Is it Go Busters Month?
Unofficially, it's something I'm doing.
Oh, okay. And you're going to talk about that later, I'm sure?
Probably a little bit, yeah.
For me, okay. Every month has been Go Busters Month since the show ended.
Right.
Roger.
Rest in peace.
So this is our first show of 2015, and you may have noticed some changes. We have a new icon, a new cover photo, we got a new theme song, and we got new sayings, so I hope you like those. I worked a good 20 minutes on that theme song, so I hope you like it. Just deal with it. Okay. So here's some news about MorphinLegacy.com and stuff before we get into the Dino Charge news. For the month of January of 2015, Lauren Shiba, the Red Samurai Ranger, Part 2 is the R Ranger of the Month, so check her / Kim Crossman out on the profiles that Ray worked very hard on.
Mm-hmm.
So check those out. We just had an awesome Pink Ranger live stream on Saturday that just passed, so that was so awesome. I actually like that a lot. So we are doing it. 30 people, yeah! And we're going to get more. So if you're listening, come to the live stream next Saturday, January 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are doing Green Rangers, so pink is out and green is in, so look for that. Also, if you're looking for Tommy episodes, you will not be getting them. So, we're not doing Tommy this time.
This is a Tommy-free live stream, people.
Yeah, so don't be expecting, like, Green with Evil 5 episodes, because that ain't happening.
We're safe.
But, come for all the other Green Rangers who are better.
Yes.
Okay, so just come for those, okay? Also, I wanted to announce that the episode summary sections of every single season of Power Rangers has been updated in our legacy databases. Again, thanks to Ray.
Screencap 700 episodes with those little episode titles.
Jesus.
Love it. It's beautiful. It looks really good. So if you haven't checked it out, go to the drop-downs in the legacy database. For every season, they're there. Now, so there's a who's in the episode number, and a blurb about the episode. So check that out if you're curious or need info randomly. Okay. So that's the news. That's randomness. So let's talk about Dino Charge. Yeah. Let's talk about that. That happened.
Dino Charge
so
ready?
Over our break, since our Christmas episode and our New Year-ish episode, there was an extended trailer of the Dino Charge thing.
On
I guess
Amazon.
It was semi-extended. On Amazon, yes. So there was new footage of Claire Blackwelder?
Mm-hmm.
Blackwelder. Yes, sorry. Sorry, Claire. There was new footage of her, and then there was new footage of the villains, and it was pretty cool because we got to see Sledge next to Candelaria and Aggron. Yes.
Getting his hands dirty.
And we're actually getting those two characters, surprisingly.
We are. I am so shocked.
I am really surprised that we're getting Candidia. I seriously thought that she was going to be adapted.
Keep smiting. So, any other comments about that, Adam? What did you think of the trailer?
The trailer was awesome. I'm glad that we got another shot of Michael Tabor. Go Riley. Woo!
I think fans of Riley need a really cool name because, like, for example, Yoshi and Coda. I saw this on Twitter the other day. They have a Twitter called Coda Pendants, and it's like a Coda fan Twitter. And I thought that was the coolest effing name I've ever heard. So shout out to the people who run Coda Pendants. You gotta follow for Morphin Legacy, so that means you're awesome. What else did we get? We also got a Fury and Vivix bio. Mm-hmm. Ray, you mentioned that the other day, right?
Yeah, would you like me to read them?
Yes, please do.
All right, for Fury, Fury's bio on back of the little figure says, eager to earn his freedom from the evil Sledge, the dangerous and hot-tempered Fury scours the globe in search of the inner gems, and he's perfectly willing to destroy the Power Rangers to get in his way. And the Vivix...
What does that remind us of? Okay, yeah. The Vivix, go ahead.
Sledge's evil foot soldiers, they are troublesome for the Power Rangers on their own, but even more so when they clump together to form Vivizords.
Ooh. Those were on the back of the toys, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. And also, super really good news that I just found out earlier today, thanks to Austin, Mental Monster. He sent me a tweet earlier today, and he was the first one to send it to me, so thanks, Austin. He sent me a tweet that said that, yes, for freak's sake, the six-pack action figure set is now available at Toys R Us, and there are pictures of them. So I can stop berating Nightmare about it now. Because I'm like, where the hell are those?
The six-pack does come with the six Rangers, or...?
It comes with the main five Rangers and Fury.
Okay.
And it also comes with the weapon, the Kentro Spiker. I'm sorry, I don't remember the American name, but...
No,
I think it has a name.
Is it in, like,
not
a
yet,
nice...
anyways, yeah.
Are they packaged in a box, or is it just, like, six toys taped together?
It's like that big old plastic dome thing that they've released the last couple years.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Kind of.
It's actually pretty nice. They actually come pretty nice, and they come posed in there and everything, so...
That's cool.
I'm sorry, guys, I'm just really excited about that. Sorry, listeners. I'm just real excited about that. So that was the Fury and Vivix bio that came on the back of the action figures of them separately. So those are very hard to find right now. So if you find one, buy it. And don't be a scalper. Don't be an asshole. Because that's not cool. Okay? Okay.
Wait, so, what were they retailing for? Did Austin say that?
Oh, no. Oh, actually, he took a... Somebody... It wasn't Austin. It was somebody else took a picture of it. Okay. And also in some random Dino Charge news, it's not really news for the show, but it's just news for the actors, I guess. So Brandon Mejia, who plays Tyler, our Dino Charge Red Ranger, got married over the weekend, so congrats, Brennan.
Congrats.
Also, Michael Tabor's totally been using the Dino Charge app, and he uploaded a picture of him with his Green Ranger helmet on, so if you didn't see that.
And it was totally rad.
Yes. I like him a lot.
I'm surprised Yoshi hasn't done that yet. Seems like he upped Yoshi's alley.
Totally, and speaking of Yoshi, nice segue there.
Mm-hmm.
When was this? 2 weeks ago? Or a couple weeks ago?
I think like about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, a week and a half.
Yeah. So Yoshi Sadarso, who plays Coda, we just mentioned that a moment ago, he pulled a prank on us, to the people who believed it, I guess. So he uploaded a picture of his girlfriend, I believe, am I right?
Yes.
Fiance.
Yes. Or his fiance, excuse me. So he uploaded a picture of her, and then said, oh, the new Dino Charge Cyan Ranger. Immediately, this should click off and say he shouldn't have called it Cyan, he should have called it Aqua, so that should have given you a clue.
Yep.
But he was joking, and a lot of people took him seriously, which is why you shouldn't do that. But
some sites reported on it. I'm not going to name any sites. But,
I fell for it.
Well, we can say that MorphinLegacy.com did not report on that. Even I didn't even report on the joke.
Nope.
You want to know why like Yoshi?
I sure. Why do you like Yoshi, Victor?
Because he does his own stunts.
Ooh, that is a good thing to like about Yoshi.
That's a pun.
That is one thing I like. No, I got it.
I see what he did there.
I was afraid it would fall flat.
Oh, wow, I just got it.
damn it.
Anyways, the moral of the story is Yoshi's fiance is not going to play Aqua, and she is not playing Cyan. Same thing. She's not playing him, her, whatever. It was a prank, and I'm sure many of you who are listening to this believed it. So it's fake. He was joking. It's a joke. So Yeah. Did any of you guys believe? Please tell me none of you believe that.
No, I did not. I knew. I the second he did. Well, the second he posted it, I'm like, one, it's Aqua.
It was his IMDb page, but he always does that.
I knew who that was, so I'm like, yeah.
I felt like I had seen her before.
That's cute. My first reaction was like, haha, that's cute. Good one, Yoshi.
He took a picture on Instagram the day before saying, oh, heading out to New Zealand, my girl.
Speaking of them heading to New Zealand, I hear they're heading back already.
Yeah, I saw Brandon tweet about it.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm looking at right now.
Yep. So that's
Yay, James gets reunited with the Fab Five.
I feel like he's left out of things. Is it me?
I know.
I mean, yeah, he lives there, but like I always see pictures of them together, and he's not there, and I'm like, where the hell's James? But sometimes Michael's not there either, so I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe they formed their own Dino Cliques.
I'm not even following them.
Maybe their Energon energy does not cohabitate.
Energy.
Well.
It wouldn't be hard. There's going to be 10 of them. They can make like little clubs within the team.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? Like Dino Survivor.
We're going to see others more than we're going to see more of some more than others.
They're going to be A squad, B squad.
Mm-hmm.
No, this could be like Dino Trek Survivor. You know, we get to see people island.
Okay. Anyways, that's that story. That's all the Dinotard-ish and Dinotard news we have. So hopefully in another 2 weeks when we do our episode 57, we'll have more Dinotard news. Hopefully. Something. Another trailer, maybe?
That would work. Maybe episode summaries?
Episode summaries would be good, yes.
Oh, episode summaries would be grand.
No.
Yes,
spoilers. I don't want them.
Oh, please.
I don't like
Watch Star Ruger.
I know.
Okay, that's like people who complain about people who spoil the Harry Potter movies for them. Bitch, it was in a book like 10 years ago.
It's not the same thing, though.
If you're sure she's
asking
spoilers for Power Rangers, I'm like, oh, what a surprise. The villain gets defeated.
Okay, here's the thing, though. They don't reveal anything that's really that important. For example, in the description for Legendary Battle, did we know we were going to get that awesome Astronomer Corone flash thing? Mm. No. And that was what made that episode great.
It's just like, it's just like a broad
extended
description.
Extended episode for us to see that in the beginning. To begin with.
I know.
Like, okay.
The episode summaries never spoil like specific plot things, like...
Yeah,
like I'm sure that the description for RPM episode 11, for example, didn't spoil like Dr. K's backstory or something.
Oh, Dr. K's backstory is revealed as she was the one who created Vengix.
Yeah, it would have said like. It would have probably just said something about them trying to form the new Megazord or something. But that's stupid.
Like, I don't want to know where gold comes from until the episode. If they say the arrival of a new ranger shakes things up, okay. But if they say, Dogold turns into a good guy, I don't want that. You know.
Well, yeah, no. That's how they've handled it in the past. Like Antonio and Orion and even Robo Knight's stories weren't ruined by the summaries. So,
okay, then I'm okay with it.
They won't reveal that much.
Orion, especially, thank God, because what a backstory.
It should be all right.
Should be.
All right, moving on to this week on with. All right, I totally ruined my own script. This week on Morphin Legacy, I don't really know what that is. Okay. This week on Morphin Legacy, first up, I have a new article that I did not too long ago, and I wanted you to relive the horror of the 2010 Mighty Morphin toy line. So check that article out.
Nice.
And yeah, check that article out on morphinlegacy.com and relive the terror that was that line. It's the worst toy line in Power Rangers history, and I will stand by that. Even worse than Overdrive. Yes. No.
Even worse.
I will crown MMPR 2010 the worst toy line in Power Rangers history. I have to, because even Overdrive was terrible. I will grant you that. It's not as bad as 2010.
Overdrive is plastic. Shitty plastic.
The Megazord releases
were
really inconsistent.
Well, also... For the Love of Rangers did a mini rant about the MMPR 2010 logo and how not to ever use that logo ever.
I saw.
So, yeah, that's
right. Also, another good segue, Adam. I also did an article on the Power Rangers logo legacy, so check that out.
Oh
too,
my
where I
gosh,
kind of like,
you did?
I did. Yeah, check that out. I go over every Power Rangers logo, including the ones that weren't used. And yeah, so check that out too. And speaking of horrible, terrible things, let's talk about Pelkay, or however the hell you announce his name.
Oh my god, great segue,
so,
Jay.
I know, right? Okay, so if you know me and the grid in general, or Morphin Legacy, whatever, you know that I don't care for the Pelkay covers. I hate them. I will say hate.
I'm sorry, but that's like one of the things that For the Love of Rangers also does not endorse. Is
okay.
Ranger enemy number one doesn't like it either.
Neither does
Modern Gaffa. This is not the plug it in section of the grid. Oh my god. Okay. Anyways, back to the story. Pelike covered the Dino Charge theme song, and of course the fandom flipped out about it, either on one side or the other. So I refused to post it on MorphinLegacy.com because I effing hate it, and I refused to even listen to it. I still haven't listened to it. I already know.
Me neither.
Yeah,
oh,
me neither.
I have to say something about this theme song, because a lot of people, when this theme song first came out, thought that Pelike was the one who sung Dino Charge theme song, including somebody in this call, /podcast.
Yeah, so, luckily he didn't.
Yes, because you can tell that it isn't now. Now that he sung it.
And surprisingly... Surprisingly, I thought that when I posted those things that I was going to get hate, because most people hate on me for not liking him. But yeah, surprisingly, the comments on Morphin Legacy were actually very supportive of my hatred for Pelike, so mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody!
No, the worst part was how the instrumental part sounds like it's from like a 1990s Casio keyboard that he's singing along with.
Always cover something like that.
I've heard people say it's better than the actual theme.
Okay,
well, they're stupid.
Yeah, they're wrong. Okay.
And people are like, oh, some of his covers on his Mega Mix sound better than his the originals.
I also know people who can't let go of the Megaforce suits, but there's no accounting for taste.
Don't let them touch me.
put a helmet on. Okay, so that's that.
Megaforce helmet on?
Yes. Again, I did not share that theme on either the website or the Facebook or the Tumblr. I didn't share it anywhere. So if you're looking for it, you can visit our affiliates at Toku Nation or at More Phenomenal's Facebook, and they'll let you listen to it. So, sorry, I'm just not doing it. Just like when I don't wish certain Power Rangers a happy birthday.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's my thing. Okay, it is a thing. I'm sorry, it's my website, and if I don't want to wish you happy birthday and I don't like you, I'm not going to wish you happy birthday. So if you see a birthday announcement from me for a ranger, that means I like them. If you don't see it on their birthday,
okay.
Anyways, moving on from Jay's, let's move on to something Jay actually liked. Or we actually liked, I'm sure. Let's talk about the Ninja trailer, which is actually something that we have been seeing for the last couple episodes on Tokuger. So anything you want to point out, guys? Ray?
Yes. I like the action.
Those suits are just so
cool.
And
the suits are nice.
Yeah, the suits are great.
I'm not a big fan of the foot soldiers, though.
Let's talk about that.
I was about to say, I love the mecha that like runs like a and that flips over the building. That's like my favorite part.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Oh, and the fog gun. The fog gun is the bomb.
They better make that cool, because I'm confused about what the hell that does.
Yeah, well, frogs are very, very endowed in ninjas, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In ninja lore.
I was really excited that they, when they're in their civilian forms, that they do use those ninja costume things, kind of a la Kaku Ranger.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And I like that. No? You don't like that, Victor?
I've realized something in recent days. I don't like ninjas that much. Like, at all.
Nani?
Like, ninjas are like a background joke. Like, when I see a ninja, it's funny, because ninjas are ridiculous. Like, I'm not looking forward to this series at all, for some reason. I don't really know why.
It'll be your favorite series by the end of the month.
We'll see.
we're all betting now for the show premieres that Victor's going to love Ninja before it ends.
There is a white.
That's
going to
be the first episode. You're going to be so glued.
I have a soft spot for white and black Rangers, and we rarely get them, so I'm excited for that.
Anyway, speaking of the foot soldiers, the yokai. So we got a better image of them. There's a better image of them shared today. And I'm not sure if I like them because of the hat or if they're little racist.
What's with the sudden obsession about hats on foot soldiers?
They look so old.
There's a fedora. I don't even know what this one is for a ninja.
They look so old school, like Sentai, like from the 80s. It's great.
It's like, okay, no, that little hat he's wearing is like that little hat they wear when they're picking rice or whatever. Right?
It's called a rice hat. Yeah.
It's a Raiden hat.
There you go. It's a Raiden hat, exactly.
Raiden!
Mortal Kombat.
I was like, I'm not sure if I like that. I mean, I kind of do. I was kind of like, oh, that's weird. I don't know.
Also, last time we talked, we thought that aliens were going to be the villains, but now we've confirmed it's yokai, so not aliens.
Yes, and for those of you who don't know, yokai translates basically to monster.
The guy who wrote it hasn't been the head writer for anything, like for any series, but he's notable for writing... He wrote the Go Busters versus Animal Sentai Go Busters special.
Woo!
Yeah, he's
I'm down.
He's the head writer for Ninja.
That is my favorite toku movie ever.
It's his first. It's his first series, but he's written like individual episodes before.
Okay.
Oh, I can't wait for Ninja.
I love that movie.
And if you're a fan of Monogatari, you know that Victor likes that movie too.
It's my logo right now. Happy Go Busters Month.
Okay, so that's the Ninja trailer. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I just really love those suits. That's what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So next up piece of news is they added a new member guest to Lexington, and it's Takumi Hashimoto. You might not know who that is by his name, but he played Boy Tiger Ranger on Dew Ranger. So that means now he's now joining Yuta and Reiko, who play Tyranno Ranger and Terror Ranger, respectively, and at Lexington. So now there are three Dew Rangers at Lexington, and that's pretty exciting.
When did Lexington become like the biggest convention in the country? I mean, it's Kentucky.
I know, right?
It's because it's centrally located, probably.
I know, right?
I mean, New York Comic
Con. Well, I think this has to do
I'm
starting to think
Tommy
this has to
Bolt.
Do with Shout Factory.
Oh yeah.
I think it has something to do.
Like, what else is at Lexington? You know, like, is it other Shout Factory things? Maybe.
Yeah, Shout Factory is a heavy presence there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why they got those guests, because they're promoting the Dew Ranger DVD.
I guess we can go to Lexington and bitch at them about why they haven't released more Mystery Science Theater DVDs.
Are you gonna go to Lexington, Cody, and do a bottom ring for Lexington Comic Con?
Please do.
I'm gonna go there for 5 minutes and bitch them like, hey, you promised every episode on DVD, and it's been 4 years since the last release.
Nice.
Ooh, that's annoying. Yeah. So, if you're going to Lexington, now you know. Lexington Comic and Toy Convention is from March 13th through the 15th. So yeah, look for that. Also, another Power Rangers related release. Over Christmas, I believe. On Christmas Day, yeah. Linkara's History of Power Rangers finally released Jungle Fury, and I just finished watching that minutes before we started recording. So, what did everyone think? I want to start with Cody first. I don't know why, but I want to hear from Cody. Oh, wait, Cody didn't even see it. That's why. Oh.
Yeah, I did.
No, Adam didn't see it.
I didn't see it because I haven't seen any of them.
Okay, sorry, Cody. I apologize.
I'm guessing you wanted
I do want to hear from you, though.
I'm guessing because I'm the one who bitches about internet personalities. I thought it was really well put together. I'm glad I agreed with Linkara on our opinion on Jungle Fury. It's a really great show. His History of Power Rangers series is really great, but God, whenever Master Mao was on screen, he kept on using like quotes from the Attack on Titan Abridged series from YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and it was so like overdone and like distracting, the quotes he used weren't even particularly funny. It stuck out like, yeah, it was like watching a YouTube video from like somebody with no subscribers, but Linkara is a huge like personality. It was like really unprofessional, I guess.
Those parts were, yeah, I suppose like if it was like a joke he used once or twice, then
yeah,
it would have been funnier.
That could be fine.
Every single time he was on the screen, he would use that joke, and I don't watch that abridged series, so I didn't get it.
I didn't get it either.
We're not even going to discuss how I feel about Attack on Titan, but overall it was funny.
This was one of his better reviews for me, actually. I agreed pretty much with everything he said, and that doesn't normally happen with me. And that hasn't happened since Overdrive. But when he was talking about Overdrive, when he did that review, I seriously agreed with everything he said. Yeah. And again, I agree with everything he said here, which was so unexpected. I honestly thought he was going to hate Jungle Fury, and I was probably going to have to hate him in return. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I love Jungle Fury, so I'm very, like, wary of other people's opinions of it.
But it's so just, yeah. It's so like love it or hate it.
Yeah. I'm like the only person who just thinks it's okay in the middle.
I think it's okay.
I mean, personally, I loved the writing style. I loved the action, especially just the plot. I loved the plot.
I know we're going to deep concession for this, but the trio, I never like felt like Casey, Dion, and Lily were that interesting.
The stuff with the
I have a thing for Casey. Well, see, then we have a Tokuger syndrome going on here. The villains are more interesting than the actual characters.
Yeah.
Well,
which is true. I will give you that for Jungle Fury. Yeah, I was more interested in Camille and Daishi and Jared and all that
Oh,
stuff,
definitely.
So. Yeah. So. Any other choice thoughts about that, Victor?
I don't know. I'm not a big History of Power Rangers fan.
It seems like something relevant we should talk about, considering pretty much most of the fandom is talking about it right now.
I only watched it Christmas. Because I knew everyone was going to watch it, and I'd have to watch it, or else I wouldn't like understand the bullshit.
Yeah, and see, I just watch him anyways. I remember one time I did a marathon. I think I caught up to him.
They're good background noise videos. Especially.
When I discovered him, I spent a whole day watching all of them, but I was like...
Yeah, me too.
I was just like bored and rolling my eyes half the time anyway, though.
I have to give Linkar props for the opening theme song, like the theme he did, mm-hmm. like the crop together of footage and stuff like that. It looks really good. So, kudos for that.
Thank God he didn't start it out with 15 minutes about bitching about people asking him when the next episode's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, but he did spend a couple minutes like retracting and reiterating. Anywho, I was going to reiterate where you could watch it. History of Power Rangers Jungle Fury. I was going to ask you guys. I believe it's on Atop the Fourth Walls website. I think that's where it is.
Yeah,
right?
That kind of glasses.
Yeah, that kind of glasses. There you go. So look for that if you want to watch it. Some other news. We got some info about a new app game that's coming to your phone. Coming to a phone near you?
Yes.
I guess. I'm not too sure about Power Rangers Unite. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And some who I believe is in this chat in this recording right now, compared it to Yu-Gi-Oh, right, Victor?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just because it's a card game. If you look at the screenshots, it looks like Yu-Gi-Oh, like the same layout and everything.
Because the first time Power Rangers used a card game, that succeeded, right?
Here's the thing, though. It's virtual cards, so there's never going to be like a printing error at the factory. The cards can keep coming out forever.
Yeah.
Well, that is also true, but you have to also think that a lot of their apps fail.
Well,
and a lot of their apps fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure. I mean, they only revealed a little bit of the information about how you battle the cards and stuff, and their zords and weapons and all kinds of stuff, strategy, all that kind of stuff. What was most important though is that they mentioned a new villain. But didn't address it later. So mm-hmm. there was a villain mentioned that his name is Nero Dark, mm-hmm. and then he was never mentioned again.
Mm-hmm.
So
people are like having theories like, "Oh, he's Daboss from Kill Ruger or Endor from Kill Ruger." I'm like, "No,
no, Judd Lynn can write a better name than Nero Dark."
What's wrong with Nero? That's an awesome name. What are you talking about?
It's not that. I'm just saying that it's probably just a character made for the game.
Yeah.
See, I would have thought that too if it was a fighting game, but it's not. It's a card game.
But why would like the day boss from Kid Ruger play a card game?
I don't know. I'm hoping he's some other random villain they're gonna introduce in Dino Supercharge, and that's what it's gonna be, or we'll just let it go.
He's Sludge's father from the planet Sludge.
What is he, Vegeta?
That's where I was going.
All right. So one last bit of news before we move on to our reviews of Tokuger. They are, luckily for you toy collectors out there, they are re-releasing the Legacy Megazord in May. So look out for that if you want to complete your Ultra Zord. Bad news, though. Bandai is discontinuing the Dragon Zord, the Titanus, the Dragon Dagger, and all of the Tommy Morphers except for the Movie Morpher, I believe.
Yay!
Sorry, Tommy fans.
So if you are listening to this and are a toy collector, please get to Toys R Us and buy those now, because I don't want to hear people bitching about it later.
Yeah,
so
buy them shelf warmers.
Pause the grid and go now. So yeah, I believe Titanus won't go down anymore in price since they're discontinuing it. So yeah. So that's fair, that.
I think it's already like $100.
It went down to $100.
The Legacy Ultras are barely held together anyway, so it's not the big
loss. It's pretty, I guess.
Yeah, but if you can get it to stand up.
Just put some chewing gum underneath Titanus. It'll be fine.
No, the hips barely hold in because the metal, and like it's really top heavy.
Okay. Alright, so moving on to our Tokuger reviewing section. So let's start with episode 41. Victor?
Oh my god. This is the best episode of the season. Okay. So
I agree.
So here's the deal. If you guys know me, you know I hate Megazords. It's the same thing every week. The monster grows. They get hit. They use a finisher. It blows up. They're 90 seconds of tacked-on boringness. This episode, oh my god, the Megazord battle was better than the rest of the episode. First of all, the morph was like a Gokaiger tribute episode. I'm pretty sure we're going to get a Gokaiger tribute morph every season, even though there's no more Gokaigers. The way they were all in the shot and the camera spun around all six of them was amazing. Then they each get in a different Megazord, and the Megazords all do the Tokudra pose. And then, like, it gradually builds to the Zords getting together, and they were fighting, like, an army of giant trains. Oh my god, it was just amazing. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So you liked it?
I liked it a little bit, yeah.
Wait, I just want to know, is Victor in the show right now, or did something, like, infiltrate his body to make him say that?
I don't know, girl.
I don't know.
What did you think, Adam?
The show was amazing. I loved it. I mean, it was a great climax to see that they finally found their home and, like, that they were fighting and everything. Everything that Victor said about the mecha battle was, like, on point, and I give it, like, all of the stars. All of the stars.
All of them?
All of them.
All of the stars. Well, I'm just asking what you thought first.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go move on to somebody else. Move on to somebody younger.
I thought it was a pretty good episode. It had a lot of drama.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Cody?
Whereas Victor was like, oh my god, the Megazords fight, I'm gonna be the smart one and be like, oh my god, character-wise, this is one of the best episodes of the season. God, shit got real this week. Like Zed was just slaying everybody, like, mm-hmm. for, like, 5 minutes. It was crazy. I'm glad that they set it up that they're not just sweeping Greta under the rug. She's still going to be back, because, like, she's one of my favorite characters this season.
Me too.
Yeah. The mech fight, yeah, that was cool, but I was really glad to see Akira back with the team, like, because he's another one of my favorite characters. I love everyone on the show, I don't care. Yeah, it was really great. I did not see the twist coming with their hometown being under the castle, and I concocted this whole plot twist that's probably not going to happen, where that all the shadow monsters they've been fighting are, like, mutated versions of people from their town.
Ooh.
Whatever.
Oh, that would be a nice twist.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, it was a really great episode thematically, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm not Victor. I love myself, so.
I agree. This episode was so good, and not only was it was good for the Tokujers, and it was also good for the villains. So that's why I liked it. Mostly, what I most enjoyed about this episode, though, and now I'm moving on to what I enjoyed and what the fuck moment. What I enjoyed most about this episode was actually just I don't know how to explain this, but I'm sure our resident filmmaker will correct me. Just the way that they filmed certain things, like, for example, when Zed slashed Noir, Madame Noir, and there was black feathers, and then the feathers fell, and at the very end, Greta was leaving the rose for Schwartz, and the sword of the snow was falling on. It was like that. There was just the way that they filmed certain things that were very dramatic, and very
really
like,
well done.
Yeah, very well done. And my favorite moment though is when Schwartz was throwing it in his face that he attained a shine, and he did.
Oh yeah, that was
so cool.
And
that was called shade.
Ray, your what the fuck moment and best moment, favorite moment.
Oh, well, I liked all the drama with the villains. That was pretty good. I mean, this definitely is a season that's about the villains more than the Rangers. I like Z's new form. That was really nice. I'm not really digging... I mean, even though I just said that I like Z's new form, I'm not really digging him as a character. I mean, oh, he's all mopey. I'm like, ooh, I don't have shine. Like, shut up. Oh, I can't even... And sorry, Victor, but I thought the Megazord battle was a little too long this episode.
Oh, fuck you, Ray.
Yeah, it was a little too long. I'm like,
the last time
is this like 4 minutes long? I'm like, Jesus, are you going to use every goddamn attack you got? Also, right in a K costume, thumbs up.
Kiki.
Kiki.
Victor?
What?
Are you new in town? Your what the fuck moment and your best moment.
Well, my best, I mean, I already talked about the Megazords being amazing. One thing I did really love, though, on a character level is Wright has never said the individual Tokuja's names before. He always just says Tokuja's. And so right before the morph, he addressed them all by name. That was adorable. I don't really remember having a what-the-fuck moment. I haven't watched this in a few weeks, and I've just been gushing about the Megazord battle this whole time, so... It was amazing.
Okay, Cody.
My favorite moment was Akira's reunion with the rest, and my what the fuck moment was I don't know what the fuck, as in, like, I don't know if this is negative, but seeing Zed just in the castle all by himself kind of stuck with me. It was really weird. Like, it was kind of creepy. Like, it was like, because that castle usually, like, has so many characters in it, and then it's just him by himself.
Yeah. And Adam.
I guess the what the fuck moment for me would be, just ultimately, like, Zed's power trip once, like, Greed is released, you know? It's like, okay, you're pissed off that Greed is not with you anymore, so it's like, I get why you're just, like, destroying everybody that's, like, on your side, but, like, you shouldn't be in a pissy mood like you are right now, because you still need them to help your final plan out. But my moment that I loved was definitely all the Megas, again, with Victor, the Megazord battles and stuff like that, the Mecha battles, I should say. Not Megazord, because it's not Power Rangers, but, yeah, it was such a great thing.
Agreed. I'm sure, yeah. Megazord battle was pretty awesome. Or, excuse me, Mecha battle was awesome.
Mecha. Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, so let's moving on, and we'll quickly go into 42.
Yeah, since nothing really happened.
So. Yeah, we'll quickly go over 42.
So wrong.
Yeah, 42, I mean, okay, here's what I was going to say. It was good, and I think that the only thing that I really, really liked about was just Akira in general. I love him in general, but just, like, I remember in the beginning he had that golden outfit on. He looked like Elvis in one of them, and that was just the cutest thing I could ever see ever. So it was all right. It wasn't that great, but I liked it. Ray?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked the Tokachi and Mio moments and parts where they were writing the letters, but I did not like that it was a clip show.
Yeah.
And Z's still moping, as usual.
Adam?
Let's see. I guess for this being, like, a quasi-clip show, it was okay. I liked how Mio finally, like, broke down in character and stuff like that. And, like, you actually saw her cry. That was, like, one of the best things I've seen this season with her.
Eating the rice ball.
While eating the rice ball, exactly.
A huge one.
And I'm not sure, was it this episode where you had the conductor, like, look like his face was, like, melting right off of him?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah, he was trying to make himself look older. Like, he was trying to make him look old.
Did he, like, have that in his purse or something?
But that was, like, but, like, the conductor.
Imagination.
With that was, like, but,
okay.
Anyway.
Cody?
Yeah.
Thank God this episode happened, because Mio was the weakest of, not like in terms of character wise, the weakest out of all the team until this episode happens, because, like, she was set up as, like, just like, oh, a stock teen mom character, but then when you sit, like, reveal that she, like, suppresses all of her emotions and everything, and then she just has a big breakdown, that's really unique, and I think that's was handled really well. The clip show thing, yeah, it kind of sucks. We have to do one every year.
The thing.
Aaron's way through it too.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah, I really liked the episode. I liked all the touches, like when they were addressing their family, like Kagura, like, mentioned her little brother in it, and I thought that was cute.
Victor?
How has nobody mentioned the frickin' song number? Like,
oh, I was waiting.
Oh my god, yeah.
I was waiting for somebody to mention that.
I was gonna mention it.
You want to do a clip show, fine. This was not a clip show. This was like Star Wars Holiday Special level
kinda
of just like pure nonsense.
I just kind
of
feel like, oh, it's behind the scenes. Was it like
okay,
behind
okay,
the scenes?
Yeah.
Oh, like, I mean, why? How do they
like
know that those people? How do they
drama,
aware of that song?
Like, God, like,
how are they aware of
like,
that
no,
song?
No.
And why are they singing it? And
this is awful. Shit. Just, I would have preferred them just sitting around saying, hey, do you remember one? Because then we get, like,
okay,
weird... This isn't Saved by the Bell. I don't need these people crying over rice balls because they like each other. Just, no. No. No.
Is it any weirder than when they sung the theme song in Kyoruger in the finale, and that was the final battle?
That's the same thing that, like, I thought that, too. Like,
oh,
see,
God. I completely forgot about it, and that's what I fucking hated.
See, that was, like, the power of the melody
and
of
I loved
the earth.
It.
That wasn't, like, literally a man came out of the train and started singing with a microphone and a guitar.
Yeah, but shit wasn't really going down and down.
Okay, okay, but Victor, I gave you this. Them singing the song in Tokyo was just for fun. Them singing the song in Kyoshu was supposed to be badass and everything.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like, oh, that's how
yeah,
we defeat Dave.
Yeah, that was that
are
was
you
the,
saying
that
you
was...
don't like the way Kyoshu ended?
I don't.
I love that
falls
moment.
Apart like a goddamn building demolishing.
Thank you, Victor. Victor's on my side.
I can't believe
No. Thankfully, there's a Power Ranger adaptation, so they can change that ending.
And I swear, if Dinochar's ends that way, I'm going to be really angry. You don't want to hear what she said. Judd has a brain, so we wouldn't adapt that. He has a brain.
I will die alive.
It's in the extended episode on Nicktoons in 2016.
And Midnight.
I'm so glad we're getting a story as written by Judd Lynn, because it's going to be so good.
Yeah, all Judd Lynn finales are good. So.
Okay, so here's my what the fuck moment. It's not really a moment, it's just something weird. Why does Mio's shirt say Throb on it?
It did?
In Japan,
I mean, okay, wait. I get it, because actually it did have a little heart next to it. I saw it was like kind of hard to see, but you could see it. So heart throb, I get that. But you're just looking at her and it says Throb.
Yeah. Well, I found that was lost.
There is kind of like a reason for that, sort of.
Well, I mean, I know. I mean, I get it. You know, I know. I get what that means. But I'm just like, it's just funny to me that I'm sitting here watching her.
Like, in Japan, you know how in America there's those white dudes who get, like, they wear Hawaiian shirts with, like, random Japanese characters on it?
Yeah.
They do the same thing in Japan, where they have random English words.
Yeah,
Wright's hoodie says Portland on it.
I know that that's a thing. I'm just saying, the word is still Throb on her chest, regardless of that being a cultural thing. I know that that's a cultural thing, but I'm just saying. It's weird. It's creepy. It's funny that her tits say Throb, basically. that was another random what the fuck moment, too. I was weirded out by the fact that the singer of the theme song decided to hop on the train and sing with them. That was the thing.
But
it did make up for it, though, because I did like that Akira got up in there with his harmonica and, like, broke it down.
The solo. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, ooh, go! That kind of stuff, so. Adam, do you have a what-the-fuck moment, or your favorite moment, or both, whatever?
Yes, my what-the-fuck moment was the conductor with the melted face. I was like, the fuck? I'm like, oh my god! I was like, conductor, really? Really? I mean, I don't know which is worse, the conductor with the melted face or President Bunny.
Hey, I like President Bunny. He's cute.
Well, I like President Bunny, but like just to like see the it's.
I know. What is this Sentai though? We're talking about
that.
President Bunny.
Oh gosh.
It's just weird, you know. It was just. Okay, I love Tokyo-cher and everything. I really do. It's just that there's some things about childhood imagination that's still like
it's just Japanese comedy.
It is. And it's just like funny, and it's like, wow. Okay, they went there, and I'm like, okay, they're embracing that they went there too, and this is great. But yeah,
is that Iggy or Dodger?
Oh my god, you can hear that? Sorry.
Yeah, it's like. It reminds me of that part from Bokinger where Boken Silver's got that thing he shakes and is really loud.
I slept with most of Bokinger.
I don't give a shit. Bokinger's awesome. Deal with it.
Iggy, come here.
Okay. Cody, since you're talking, do you have a what the fuck moment or a best moment?
Best moment was, of course, Mio's character arc. What the fuck moment was... I have to go with Adam, the conductor with the melted face. But I always thought... Like, I took it as he was trying to cheer the team up, so I thought that was kind of sweet. But they didn't, like, explain why, so that's just what I took it as.
Victor?
I hate it.
The end?
The end?
That's all I gotta say.
You want to elaborate any?
No, I've said my piece. It's just, it's nonsense. All right. It's just a bunch of crazy crap happens for 20 minutes, then it's over, and then they sing.
All right, then. Ray, finish us off.
I know this might be a little controversial, but the way that the whole episode is based around is, we're going to send your family letters, and then we're going to shoot it into the town, and then, I mean...
Okay, what
and
does that mean?
And the letters turn into, like, glittery golden flakes that shine down on the town. I'm like...
I think it was like they're sending their feelings, or whatever.
To their frozen relatives who are, like, trapped in... time or whatever.
I didn't really get it. I'm like, that doesn't really make sense. I mean, did just conductor and wagon just come up with that to make them feel better? Because I don't
probably
really feel like they did any. I don't think the letter was sent or even like still readable now, because I mean it's golden flakes now,
like just like Tommy.
It's golden sparkles now.
Sparkle.
All right, so that was Tokyo-cher 42.
Wait, since they shot those letters into their town and stuff like that, don't they just now live in Tinseltown?
Bad Moving joke. On.
It's So Dark Specter's Revenge.
I'm sorry for that bad joke.
You interrupted me for that shit joke.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
If you follow us or like our page on Facebook, then you would know that now we are reviewing Dark Specter's Revenge is a resident favorite season. So Ray started off, I guess, with part one.
Yes, part one. My best part of this episode was the little beginning scene with Ecliptor and Orkonda, and then Darkonda has like the friggin' drill thing that's going into Ecliptor's head. That was so scary. Oh my gosh. And I really enjoyed Professor Phenomenus' antics, and like he's old crazy old guy. I'm like, oh, there's an asteroid heading straight for Earth. I'm like, you got to stop it. And I really like that. And let me see. Bad moments? I didn't really like Caron's jumpsuit.
Yeah, I always thought it was weird that it was slightly different than the others.
Yeah. I do like that communicator, though. That was hot.
Didn't that communicator recently sell on eBay?
I think so.
I feel like it did.
I think that's
the point, too. Adam?
This is the part of the two-parter that I really liked, was seeing Caron as Caron and not Caron as Astronomer.
Bitch.
Hey, I get to have my Caron moment. Give me a... I like this part because she's like all coming from, I was brainwashed and stuff like this. This is what happened. And I was like, yes, I really liked seeing Caron and Melanie Perkins without like all that makeup in her natural hair. That was great. I like this part of the episode. I really thought, me just freshly watching this, of course, I really didn't catch that there was like the drill machine that really reprogrammed Ecliptor. I've always thought that it was just like that laser thing that he was going to be like shot with a laser and stuff like that. Sort of like pseudo Mezogog-ish from Dino Thunder. But like, yeah, that was really neat. I totally miss some of the things from a child.
So I didn't ask, did you have a what the fuck moment?
The what the fuck moment would be... I didn't have a what the fuck moment.
The antics when they were trying to blow up the asteroid, I kind of felt like that was dragging a bit too long.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I haven't watched In Space in a really long time. I mean, not like super long, but like a decent amount of time. But I was good watching this episode, these two episodes again. But the first one, I liked the first one more because it was a little more comedic with Professor Phenomenus. But my favorite moments in the episode, specifically this one, was the antics and shit that went on with Vulcan Skull and Professor Smith and stuff like that, especially when they're trying to get in the rocket. And that was also my what the fuck moment, was because ain't nobody fitting in that rocket. Also, they wouldn't be flying into space with just that, you know, just them.
Yeah, and that footage like they used for the rocket, it looked like they got it from like 1955. So, did you see?
It did.
Yeah.
Yes. Victor?
So I love In Space. I've not seen it since college. I really like, just this episode encompasses what In Space is, because they tried to go with this whole space opera thing, but because of budget and the Sentai footage, they had to stay around Earth. But they still managed to do, like, adventure-y, Star Wars-y type stuff. My favorite moment is Zane and Andros going on their little adventure, just because it feels like what would happen in, like, a space movie, like a Buck Rogers type thing. They even pull a Star Wars when they beat up Quatrons and use their costumes to infiltrate. That was awesome.
That's part two.
Are we doing parts?
Yeah, we're doing in parts.
Okay, well, I don't mentally know where the cutoff is. It's just, it's one episode.
When they were trying to get the asteroid.
Oh yeah, that was a little dumb. All the asteroid antics were a little, that's my thoughts on part one.
So yeah. All right, well then in that case we can move on to part two. Ray?
I really like the antics with Andrus and Zane in this episode when they're like on the Dark Fortress and he's like, you went on a date with my sister? I was like, and then he's like, it was one date, sue me. And I didn't know it was your sister. And also the scene where Astronomo is revealed to be a cyborg. That gets me every time. I love
Cyber
that
scene. Astronomer, work.
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 And let's see, bad. I really didn't like the Vulcan skull in Phenomenal Semantics in the second part because, I mean, so Astronomer sends down a monster to look for Power Rangers, and she doesn't inform them of their real identities.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, you're the Power Rangers.
Maybe it was her subconscious that didn't allow her to reveal their identities.
Ooh. Who knows?
Could be.
Yeah. I guess they're like, oh, we have Paul Shar and Jason Arvin in the Sith this week. Let's put him in somewhere.
I agree. I didn't really care for the that's why I mentioned that earlier, that I didn't really care for the Professor Phenomenon's Vulcan Skull stuff.
Yeah.
This part, for example, like I didn't get that. I was just like, okay, yes, and Cybertron will work. That's a thing. But my favorite line was when, and this is actually a Professor Phenomenon's moment, which is random, but when the Power Rangers arrived and then he was like right in front of them and he goes, that was the best. I love that. That was my favorite moment.
Mm-hmm.
Victor?
Yeah, like I already messed up and said, I loved the adventure with Zane and Andros on the ship trying to get Caron back. I do love their banter about Andros or Zane dating his sister. I kind of wish that was morphed footage. I just think like comedy and awkward moments in morphed footage is funny. My what the fuck moment, I did like the stuff with Vulcan Skull, but I just thought it was weird and out of place in this episode, especially because at the end it's like a meaningful moment and they let them ride on their surfboards or whatever. That would be cool in a different episode, because here it's like the big mid-season villain shift, kind of, even though it's just Astronomer gets cyborged or whatever.
Yeah.
That's all cool, but then it's like underplayed because with this like silly, funny, heartfelt moment about Vulcan Skull, you know?
Well, Vulcan Skull's tenure on InSpacer is kind of like very scattered. They're only in like, I think they're only in 13 episodes of InSpace as a whole, so they probably were like, oh, we have them on the set this week, we gotta put them in somewhere.
And I also, the monster is weird, just because it's kind of also tacked on. Like, if that was like Dark Spectre's backup plan, like, ooh, they, like, if the asteroid was like an alien egg, and when they moved it off course, it hatched into this monster, and then it attacked. Because I guess they had to, because they introduced the Mega Winger, so they had to introduce the Megazord battle.
You know,
so,
RPM does something very similar in this, that they have the episode where a General Shifter is like having a giant plan. I'm like, oh, I have this arm, and I'm going to attack you, and I'm brainwashed Scott. And then, oh, there's Tenaya, she's cyborged again. And then they destroy General Shifter, and then, oh, Tenaya goes down with a dumbbell bot. So I kind of feel like it's similar in that case, so I guess they're like trying to fit all this stuff into one episode because they needed to use it.
Should we move on to Cody now?
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this two-parter, but yeah, you guys are right about the Vulcan Skull stuff sticking out, because like this, the whole point of these two episodes is about, you know, Caron, and she just like completely steals the show, especially in these few episodes. So like when the scene isn't focusing on her, it really like is jarring.
Yeah,
the meteor stuff, it was really like a jam-packed episode, but overall, I really enjoyed it.
Adam's on.
Oh, hi. Okay, let's see here. My favorite part about the second part of this was the fact that I liked the Vulcan Skull antics. That was kind of funny. I also liked the fact that we got introduced to the Mega Winger. There we go, I can speak. Also, the like Andros's like reaction saying, Rome, what did they do to you? I am Astronomer. I love that banter back and forth, and the fighting. Like this is like almost an apex episode for In Space as a series, outside of Countdown to Destruction.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, this is definitely like one of those higher moments in this show.
Yep. And it was directed by a horror director, so that was kind of, that wasn't really a big surprise considering all the graphical things in this episode.
You know. Do we have anything else anybody wants to say about Dark Spectre's Revenge? Just one or two?
I think I'm good.
It's awesome. All right. Okay. So let's moving on to our questions segment, and we actually have a lot of questions this week. OMG. Yay. All right, so our first question comes from Joshua Perry, and he wants to know, what do you think is the worst set of Zords in Power Rangers?
Hmm.
Okay, here's how we have to set some ground rules on this. I don't know. Are we talking about the main Megazords or just the main, like, whole set of Zords?
I think set of Zord he means.
I say individuals. I say we stick to main Megazords.
Main Megazords?
Main Megazords? Okay, well, if we're sticking to main Megazords, Time Force. If we're sticking to the entire team of Zords, Turbo.
What's wrong with Time Force?
It's boring.
The individual Zords are kind of boring, but when they're all together, they're pretty cool.
I'm not a fan.
You guys are going to hate me. Okay. The Lost Galaxy Zords, I never liked them.
I hate you.
Well, the Galaxy Megazord as a whole is kind of a little boring.
The choice of animals was really weird, and Green just kind of gets shafted in the transformation. It's just, it was kind of...
a gun.
Yeah, it just kind of felt like it was like the first draft of their mecha ideas.
It is a little been there, done that.
Ray?
As a Megazord, well, yeah, Drive Max is my least favorite, and as individual Zords, I don't like the Mega Force Swords. They're just so boring.
They only serve the purpose. They're just there to transform, like, individually. Like, what does the Tiger do?
Yeah, it's just a leg.
Well, so same complaint for Super Mega Force as well, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Victor?
I feel like I'm getting some heat for this, but I am not a fan of the Jungle Pride Megazord. I don't like that it's just the red tiger or whatever just wearing boots, you know? Like, I get it's hard to do a three-man Megazord, but if they were the arms instead... Because, like, the way Gabutira and Kyuryuzhin work, it looks a little better with just the red as a body and arms. Just red with body and red arms and legs is just a little weird.
Yeah, it is.
I don't like it.
I can see that. Adam?
Megazord, I would have to agree and say the Drive Max. And individual, like, as, like, a whole, all the Drive Maxes, like, 1 through 18, or 23, or whatever, I totally didn't like any of those Zords. Only because their attack and finishers were, like, really weird and stupid and lame. I guess... And then, like, individual Zord itself. I guess it would have to be...
While we're young.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know. I guess it's just... I'm gonna have to say the Mastodon Dinozord. Because... Okay. Because you very rarely saw the shield be used.
It was the arms, though.
I know, it was the arms, but, like, the face part. The
it has freezing neck. Powers.
Yeah, it was barely...
So that's... You don't like it?
Yeah, I guess.
Because it was never used?
I got right now.
Not a, okay.
Well, rarely.
All right, moving on.
I don't... It's an answer.
Okay, kinda. All right, next question. Next question comes from Fred Holly, our good friend Fred. Hey, Fred. What's up, Fred? He wants to know, who are your favorite and least favorite Power Ranger characters and why? I'm going to give the standard J answer. My standard J answer is, my favorites are Jenin and Bridge, man and female. And my least favorite, Kevin. Okay. Kevin.
Okay, then.
I hate Kevin. Moving on. Who's next? Victor.
My favorites are Jen and Wes, kind of like a weird man-woman tie right there. And my least favorite is Gosei.
Huh?
He is everything wrong with the past 2 years of my life.
Ray?
Okay, my favorite is Astronema for obvious reasons, and my least favorite are Will and Kevin for obvious reasons.
And you know what? I actually answered that as Rangers and not characters. I guess I could have elaborated later.
Mm-hmm.
Adam?
My favorite is Leo, Casey, and Hunter, and my least favorite would have to be, Damon. Damon is my least favorite.
Why?
Okay.
Because he was boring. Move on.
Yes. Cody?
My favorite, characters are Jin and Dr. K. Least favorite is probably, God, I hate to agree with, what's his name, but, Gosei.
Why would you want to, what's wrong with agreeing with me?
Because we usually have opposing opinions. And by that I mean I'm usually right.
Oh, snap.
Well, sorry you suck, Cody.
I mean, we've been Skyping for days and this hasn't happened then. I bet you that from when we stop recording, it's not going to happen.
I know. That's what's going to get us.
Do you think it's just like the Skype app itself gets glitchy when someone's recording it?
Maybe.
It's just Che, though.
Well.
Okay, next question. Our next question comes from Bryce. His Twitter is Buffendo. Hey, Bryce. He wants to know, if you had to join one villain in the Power Rangers, who would you choose?
The PR universe in an epic battle against the Rangers, who would you choose?
Just like one battle, or are we hanging out with them for like their whole
in an epic battle?
Rancic, I guess. I don't know.
I would probably choose Omni from SPD.
Why?
You would like to join Omni? Why? So you can get your brainwashed?
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. It's a funny way how Omni worked. He was like all in the mind and stuff like that, and I like the mind. It's a great thing to like mess around with to manipulate people. So yeah, I would definitely like to be Omni or be in a battle with Omni.
Join Omni in battle. That's
yeah, question. I would join him in battle.
Omni can't fight.
It's a giant brain.
Well, Omni was, you know, the all-encompassing, like, thing that that transformed. So, yeah, I like that. I liked Omni because Omni was pretty much his own sword.
Yeah.
So you would lose the fight because you would be the only one there because Omni can't go to the fight because he's a spaceship.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't care.
Well, mine's obvious. Astronomer.
I don't know. I've
she was she ruled the universe for a short time, and she has a giant ass army to rule over. She's got the first. She's got the Raven's Edge. She's got the Machine Empire and Divatox under her wing. So I mean, hello.
I'm gonna go with Murloc from SPD because I like mirrors.
I probably would have joined with Brock or the Machine Empire.
Okay. Next question.
But not in that creepy Forever Red Machine Empire kind of way. I mean, like the actual Machine Empire,
not the Beetleborgs.
Yeah, not the Beetleborgs.
You make it sound like they were like fetishists for the Machine Empire.
I feel like they were. All right, last question that we have on here comes from Tommy Brevard, and he wants to know, if you had the chance to adapt GoBusters, how would you do it? And I'm pretty sure that all of us, except for Victor, have answered that on the grid. So I will let Victor answer it solely.
Well, as I've mentioned before, this is GoBusters month at the Modern Gaffa. So I'm actually about to launch an article called 10 Better Ways to Adapt GoBusters. A preview of it right now is my one idea that instead of basically make it kind of the same show. But instead of Enter and Escape being one or two individuals, make it like an organization of like hackers. And each episode is like a guest star villain who's like a human in a costume. And they infect machines and make the monsters and stuff. And then at the end we find out that maybe there's like a mole inside the good guys or something. And that's like the secret leader of the organization. Just an idea.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've all answered it.
I think so.
But here's one thing I just wanted to point out. Here's
just
how
let Zeppelin do it. It'd be fine.
Yeah. here's how I would adapt GoBusters. I would. The end.
Okay.
One more thing.
Uh-huh.
I really hate this modern Sentai trope of the villains needing to collect a like indiscriminate number of imaginary items. Whether it's like, oh, we need the sadness to fill the river, or we need the darkness or the emotions.
I need emotions.
The plot of GoBusters is the robots were trying to like steal Energon or whatever, and it's like
it was done. I think GoBusters did it best because Energon was part of the plot for both the villains and the good guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, I just know if this came to Power Rangers, they would need like something like Energems to make it, or like the Corona Aurora just to make it more of like an actual villain quest.
Energy.
And we are
that's all. And we also have two questions from
Twitter.
Sure. So, Adam, on the Twitter.
We have one from Amber Panta Japan, and her question is, how many K's could Pelic K? K if Pelic K could Pelic K.
What?
He couldn't. There's the answer.
How many K's could a Pelicate cave? A Pelicate could Pelicate K.
It would be in a way that we couldn't understand him because of his accent.
Exactly.
The evil Dicey clan. All right. All right. Thanks, Amber, you smartass. All right, now read us the next one, Adam.
I had to break it up and to do something funny. The next one comes from Terry Trevino, at Trevino_Terry on Twitter. And he's like, at the Grid PR, if you had to make a team of Rangers with celebrities, i.e. TV, movies, or music, who would you choose?
It's funny because we had this discussion right before we started recording.
We did? Oh.
We kind of did.
Yeah.
So, Terry, we will give you our response.
I wanted to say that I don't like when people do that, when they put celebrities in the Ranger uniforms. I don't really know.
Yeah, no.
I'm not a big fan of that. So, sorry, Terry, I don't like that question.
Chris Pratt.
Would he be a Red Ranger, though?
He'd be all of them.
Ooh, I'm down for that.
Make him all of them. Like, all his characters. Andy Dwyer. Tommy. Okay, so Star-Lord is the Red Ranger. Andy Dwyer is the Blue Ranger. Emmett is the Orange Ranger. Jurassic Park, whoever, is, like, the Black Ranger. And the Pink Ranger is,
That's Batman
else.
Voice?
Sure. No, Johnny Karate is the Pink Ranger.
Johnny Karate?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that show, and it's coming back, and I love it. Okay, anyways, over. Moving on. It's almost over. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have any celebrities they want to put in Power Rangers?
I would find it funny to see, like, you know, something kind of like on the terms of the Spice Girls being individual Rangers. Like each individual.
Oh my god,
Spice.
You're a walking meme.
That would be great. Or, I don't know, like, have the female Rangers be like Britney and Christina Aguilera, like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera,
or, like,
and then
Katy Perry,
have like
Lady Gaga.
Are you really giving us the pop princess meme? Are
don't even.
The Power Rangers are
really?
Back.
Ugh, I fucking hate that meme.
Oh my god, I'm totally
doing this
from Tumblr.
My brain just totally went to that meme, and I totally subconsciously forgot about that meme. Oh my god, yes, I'm so sorry. It happens. I'm old. What do you expect?
Maturity.
All right, well, that was our last question. Thank you, everyone, for all those questions, and I hope we get that many next time, which would be good. So ask us more questions if you have them. On Twitter or on Facebook, Tumblr, if you're following. Yeah. All right, last thing. Plug it in for real this time. Victor?
I am at The Modern Gaffa at moderngaffa.com on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr. Right now, like I said, we're celebrating Go Busters Month. I have an article on what happened to Go Busters, why it wasn't adapted, and I am about to launch an article on 10 ways it could have been adapted. We also cover Super Sentai, Power Rangers, Digimon, Marvel, Tumblr, Kamen Rider, Star Wars. Did I say Tumblr in that? No, we don't cover Tumblr. Anyway, I am also – my New Year's resolution kind of this year was to make a movie. So I'm spending this year making a movie. You can follow that at victormakesamovie.weebly.com. I can't say much about it. I'm 99% sure what it's going to be at this point. And it is something that people who listen to this podcast will be interested in. So look out for that in the coming weeks. I will make an official announcement soon.
Sweet.
Cool.
Right?
You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, Ranger Enemy Number 1, and YouTube, Shattery22, Twitter, _Shattery22, and Tumblr, and Shattery22. You can find more of Legacy Database, whatnot, whatever. Okay. Bye.
Adam?
You can find me on For the Love of Rangers on Facebook and Tumblr. Something that's going to be coming up on the Facebook starting February 2nd. It's going to start on the 2nd instead of the 1st because that's when our third birthday is, at least for Facebook. So on the 2nd, be on the lookout for some pretty awesome pictures coming your way, and it's going to be pretty effing fantastic, and really, really rad. So totally check us out. We're definitely getting close to 700 likes on the Facebook page. We're still in the, like, 400s on the Tumblr. So feel free to come on by and check us out.
Yeah! And Cody.
I do commentaries every Tuesday on my YouTube channel. The link will be in the description. And And I have a podcast that I do outside. It's outside of the grid. We discuss Kamen Rider and Super Sentai and just general sci-fi. It's superweebtime.com, super W-E-E-B time.tumblr.com to find our episodes. And that's about it. Also, Boyhood did not deserve a Golden Globe.
Okay. One thing I wanted to bring up, too, is that by the time we record our next episode, it will be Shelby's birthday. So we could all wish Shelby a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday, princess.
Pink
oh,
princess.
And by the way, Shelby was the original owner of For the Love of Rangers. So
really?
Definitely stuff on by.
The hell you say?
So stuff on by.
So, some news for Morphin Legacy. If you want to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Livestream, Podbean, all kinds of crazy shit. Follow us. Our Ranger of the Month for January is Lauren. Check out her profile. Don't forget, our Pink is Out, Green is In Livestream is on Saturday, January 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, check that out. I don't know. Anything else, guys?
Comments? We're good.
I think we're good?
Yeah.
All right, everyone. That was episode 56 of The Grid. So, tune in 2 weeks for episode 57. And everybody say bye.
Bye.
Kiki.
Thank you for listening to The Grid. Be sure to follow all of the hosts on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, or on their individual sites described within the description. On behalf of all of The Grid hosts, we hope you listen in next week. Thank you, and may the power protect you.
この番組は楽しい時を作る企業バンダイとご覧のスポンサーの提供でお送りしました。